Good afternoon, everyone. The presenter before me spoke about innovation. Really, what I'm going to talk about is the opportunity to seize the moment. I'm assuming that most of you here are familiar with communities putting prevention to work. I'll spend a few minutes on that shortly. But because of CPPW, we had this unprecedented opportunity to really focus our efforts to integrate equity through everything that we were doing, from hiring staff, training staff, building competency and capacity, as well as designing our interventions, implementing our interventions, and then ultimately evaluating. So this is, again, about seizing the opportunity. I also like to take a moment to say thank you to those who don't have the opportunity to be here. Obviously, Dr. Larson is listed there. She's our evaluator. But I really want to thank all of our staff who joined the CPPW team, knowing that it was only going to be a two-year project. It's very unusual in public health to come in knowing that you're only going to be there for a short period of time. An exceptionally diverse team, which we'll talk about again shortly, but everyone was focused on the mission, really focused on making a difference for people in Nashville, and knew that they were part of a social experiment that had not occurred previously in their career. So I want to acknowledge them before I start. I also want to just provide a little bit of context about Nashville. Nashville is a southern community. It's actually a southeastern community. We sit in the middle of Tennessee. If any of you have been to Tennessee, it's like we have three states, Virginia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. It's quite different depending on what area of the state that you're in. We have a city county government, so it's a metropolitan government. We have a population of about 600,000, primarily Caucasian and African American, but over the last decade to decade and a half, we've had a very shifting demographic with an increasing Latino population from many different countries, as well as refugees from all over the world. So it's kind of changed the dynamic within the Nashville community significantly in the last decade and a half. Just to note, I have no financial relationships that I need to disclose in this particular meeting. Again, just a little bit about communities putting prevention to work. We were funded through stimulus funds, or the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. I think what's critical there is that as a community, we took the mission of stimulus really to heart, that it was about hiring people, hiring locally if we could, but making significant difference in a two-year period. We were told from the very beginning, and other CPPW sites can attest to this, that we were considered the down payment for health reform, that we were challenged to be able to show that we could do things differently, do things bold and revolutionary, and I think we took that seriously and used this really as an opportunity to say, okay, we talk about equity, now's our opportunity to do something about it and incorporate it into our daily work and not just have a lot of rhetoric. So I'm going to talk a little bit about strategy development. I'll also talk about implementation. At the end, I have many slides on different projects. I will not have time to go through all of those, but I do have PowerPoint presentations in the back if somebody's interested in those. And then I'll end just with some lessons learned and then some other unintended benefits that have occurred as a result of our work through CPPW. Particularly, we'll talk a little bit about understanding the Nashville community and particularly the disparities that exist in our community. We'll talk about some historic partnerships that are important and then partnerships that were built through CPPW. Also, our approach to building competency and capacity within our staff, which that then spread throughout our health department, and then also using data-driven decision-making. We do have a fairly strong data system within our local health department. That's thanks to a previous health director who invested resources at the county level in our EPI division being able to collect county data. So in addition to statewide data and national data, we do collect local data, which has been beneficial to us. We also work very closely with multiple academic institutions. So Nashville is considered the Athens of the South, and in some regards that's because of the number of academic institutions that we have. Because there are good working relationships amongst institutions, there's free flow of data. So we have been able to receive or attain additional information through those academic partners and then also through community partners that work directly with the community. A little bit about Nashville. So a little bit over 600,000 in population, 22% are younger than 18 and 10% older than 65. 65% white, 27% are black, and then 5.8% are listed as other. But I always like to give the caveat, that's what the census says. There are many underrepresented populations in our community and many people, as we know, that get classified in the wrong category. So I would just say that we are a community that is becoming more and more diverse with people from all over the world and all different shades speaking many different languages. So I don't think this is an adequate representation of our community. And that we have an estimated 22,000 households that are considered linguistically isolated, which would mean English is not spoken nor read in those particular households. And those are mostly what I would say newly arriving refugee communities and households. Health disparities, I'm not going to go through all of these. I think you can read that. I think we would suffice to say, as a southern city, we have marked disparities amongst U.S.-born Caucasian populations and U.S.-born African-American populations. That's been known in our particular city, really, since we started collecting data well over a century ago, and those have not changed markedly in that time period. A little bit about our food desert areas. We're going to talk later about our corner store initiative, but we did identify in partnership with both Tennessee State University and Vanderbilt what we would call four food desert areas. These are primarily African American, but when we did a second look and dive down in, one of the food deserts actually was more Latino population than African American, and that was misrepresented on one of the original maps. I'm not going to go through this one. I think it's covered most of that. Talk a little bit about community partnerships, because we do have some rich partners within the Nashville community that we were able to bring to the table. One, to add value and diversity, but also to challenge us as a department as to how we look at projects, how we implement projects. Are we being inclusive? Who else needs to be at the table? And I can't understress the need to be able to have genuine dialogue about who else needs to be at the table, and challenging each other on things that you may say or ways of thinking that are probably just institutionally traditional, but they need to be challenged. And I think our community partners really assisted us with that. Skerrit Bennett is a local institution that was many, many, many years ago a retreat house, but their primary focus is on reducing racism and sexism within the Nashville community. So they host what are called dialogues, which really focus on having honest, genuine conversation with people who are different and then developing strategies collectively to improve the community and the community's way of addressing issues, but also community health status. We also had a partnership with an organization in California that we'd worked with previously that teaches just basic dialogue skills. How do you have a difficult conversation? How do you know when you're actually being biased or responding from something that's been ingrained in you over time? I think those are basic skills that staff really need to develop over time. Belmont University had opened a health equity center, so we worked closely with Dr. Houston in providing both training but also in designing and implementing our strategies. Also, Tennessee State University, their master's in public health program is actually focused on cultural competency, so we use those partners to assist us in strategy development as well. And then we provided 5 mini grants to community organizations, which I'll talk about briefly. So we'll talk about the mini-grants. I won't go into a lot of detail, but I think they're relevant. As a community, we had to advocate as a department, particularly to Metro Council, who approves all of our contracts, why we would provide some of the mini-grants that we did provide and why we would provide them to the organizations that we did provide them to. So this was not without controversy. It seems like it would be really straightforward and easy to let contracts, but it's not necessarily easy to do that. So I'll reference the African American Cultural Alliance. They did really great work, focused on healthy eating and active living, and particularly on youth development. But the individual who led this organization was very active in the civil rights movements in the 60s, and there was still a lot of history associated with him as a leader. So we had to be able to defend why that organization should be able to receive the money, but actually was more equipped to deliver the services than us as a governmental agency. Another is the Corinthian Baptist Church. This became an issue because it was a religious organization, and there was concern that it wouldn't be open to the entire community. But as you all know, we're all challenged to work with faith-based organizations. But even if we weren't challenged to do that, faith-based organizations lead in their community. And if we talk about healthier places, places of worship are places that we want to be healthy. And so it's critical that we be able to share our wealth with others and to overcome barriers to sharing that wealth. So in this particular situation, it took us many months to have this contract go through Metro Council. And a lot of conversation back and forth. We sought consultation from the CDC. We contacted Seattle. They had been successful in the past in providing contracts to churches. But ultimately, we had to get a legal opinion from Metro Legal that we actually could do this. So if you ever have this situation come up, feel free to give us a call, and we can tell you what our experience was and then let you know that Detroit led the way in trying to deal with this issue from a legal perspective. Good Food for Good People, another community organization. Castles at Vanderbilt provided mostly community gardening information and assistance to inner-city urban core communities. I want to talk more about recruiting and hiring, and then I think I'll go to the end slides and not talk so much specifically about projects. We really were diligent up front about designing our hiring practices so that we would offer jobs to people who represent the face of the Nashville community. So what that meant was that we had to really look through Metro government, because many of them we tried to hire into the health department because they would then have civil service status. So that actually was a plus. We could contract, but people may not have had the same benefits. So we were actually trying to make sure that people had access to civil service benefits, if at all feasible. So we had to look through job descriptions that allowed us to hire people with different academic backgrounds, but also different levels of experience coming in, and then to make sure that we recruited from many different organizations and places, not that we didn't just post in the Tennessean like we normally would, or we didn't just post on the Metro website. We went to a lot of different places. Ultimately, we had over 500 applicants for 36 positions. We did team interviews. We tried to make sure that we had a diverse team that did the interviewing, and then we really challenged each other if we had an affinity towards one person over another and try to look at why we might have hired someone or chosen not to hire another person. As individuals came in, they knew equity was a really key component of our CPPW campaign and that there would be significant energy invested in developing both skills as well as capacity, and that we would be looking at equity through all of our implementation strategies and evaluation. So ultimately, in looking at the employees that were hired, they were fairly representative of the population of Nashville. 67% were white, 28% black, 2.5% were identified, and this is self-identified, not our identification, as Asian. 2.5% is other, one identified themselves as African, one is Jewish, and one is Irish. He was actually from Ireland, so he didn't necessarily agree with our way of classifying people. The other is that we did have a diverse workforce based on age. You can look at the numbers there. We had young staff all the way through someone who actually was almost 68, I think, at the time that she retired. And then we had individuals from right out of high school to people who were doctorally prepared. So we really were, again, trying to ensure that we represented the community. This is just some of our staff. Many of them, this was their first job. Talked a little bit about training, so I just want to reinforce that. We started out with basic dialogue training. That's training that builds skill in having the difficult conversation. And creating an environment where people are comfortable having difficult conversations. Then we did diversity and dialogue where people actually put that to work. And then we had follow-up sessions with the Equity Center from Belmont that provided training on health disparities, inequities, undoing racism. And then some of the staff were able to participate in racial healing training through another grant that we had. And then in addition to that, we had ongoing sessions where we would just have open conversation with staff and allow them to provide feedback, one on the work environment and how we were creating an environment that would promote success in the system, as well as how we were working with the community, how we needed to change things that we were doing within the community. I'm going to skip forward so that we don't spend too much time. And I apologize on the flashes here. What I wanted to end with was just our lessons learned. One, the importance of community engagement that can't be underestimated, engaging directly with the community. But that doesn't necessarily mean there's an intermediary. What I mean there is I can go to another community organization and get their information. It's important that I go in the field. I'm an old field nurse, so that's what I like doing is in the field. But everyone on our team had to go out into the community. They couldn't rely on somebody else providing them information. And it was important that they know the community and actively participate in things that were going on in the community. It's also important to call upon other experts. I think many communities are struggling with how they integrate equity into practice and how do you sustain that over time. And so seek input from others. If feasible, use a standardized evaluation. I said this in a previous presentation. It's important that we demonstrate that prevention works. And it's important that we demonstrate that if we tailor our interventions, that a focus on equity makes a difference. The focus on social justice makes a difference. So there's power in us using standardized tools. And it's important that we tell our story to others. And then last, I just have coordination of efforts listed, but it means that what I'm talking about was not done in isolation. We started an equity work group in the department. We drafted a policy that said 100% of grants written had to include equity as a component of that grant. If not, they were not approved to go through our process for grants. So a lot of other things went on to augment this particular work. Thank you.